a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is, as always, a pleasure to have you with us here on a Saturday morning. A perfect weekend, too, weather-wise. Maybe we're finally making the turn to fall, and we had our autumn equinox earlier this week. We'll be in the 70s this weekend, 76 today, 79 tomorrow. But, of course, we're recording this program. You should have gotten used to this message. We're recording this program on Thursday of this week. Tim Hughes here along with Russ Smith checking in from the Sky Call compound up there in Sugar House. If he hasn't muted the conversation on that end, hello?
I have to correct you. I'm not in Sugar House anymore.
You're not.
I am now in beautiful downtown Stumpville.
Oh, really? You know what?
Well, they cut.
Yeah, go
after
ahead.
After they cut all these trees down up here, all we got left are stumps.
Yeah. I mean, I saw some of your pictures, and I shared your videos the day after the windstorm, but I really had no idea until I came up there to drop a phone off to you, which is a switch. You're usually the one dropping off phones. Man, I had no idea there was that much damage done up there in your neighborhood.
I want to say this is the worst of anywhere, but I'm sure there's other areas just as bad. But now it's like beached whales on everybody's front yard. They've cut most of the vegetation off of these trees, but they left about 6 or 8 feet of stump.
Yeah.
Well, and they're all laid down, parts of the concrete are up.
I kind of like the new name, Stumpville.
Stumpville.
That might just stick, actually. But we're glad that the property damage, other than the trees, wasn't too much. It just so happens you and Navidomskus were in two super hit, super hard hit areas. Yeah. The other up there in Kaysville. Rose Park also got it in North Salt Lake. But Navidomskus is with us from K-Town. Hello there.
Yep, just chilling like a Kaysville. And, yeah, I lost most of my roof and a number of trees here, too. We get blown away in Kaysville all the time.
Wow. You guys just happen to live where the wind circulates down those canyons and whips around.
Yep.
We got hardly anything or any damage out in our neighborhood. Maybe a couple of limbs on trees, but nothing too great on the west side, which was good. So, guys, what's the week been like for both of you?
Mine, it's been fine, hard work. Oh, my gosh, trying to teach these kids once a week is killing me. And then I started my fly fishing classes, and I want to tell you, Tim, there's like 20 people in, 10 in each class that – listen to the show regularly, and I love to talk to them because they love it. They actually think it's fun.
One of these days, we just need to send a recorder with you so you can record that initial conversation with them. That would actually be kind of fun, and let them just talk about listening to the program and why they get out of bed early with us on Saturday mornings. I'm always curious.
Yeah, they could listen to themselves because we tape it earlier, and they could tune in on Sunday, Saturday, and hear what they said in class.
There you go.
There you go.
And Russ, I'm going to guess that you're, I've been watching, you needed that phone back from Josh Knuckles pretty bad because it was going right back out.
That was last week?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was our busiest weekend of the year. We had, on Friday night, we had nothing on the shelf.
Mm.
And then a couple things came back Saturday, so we were able to send them right back out. Friday, Let's see, I saw you like Thursday. Yeah, on the way home. Yeah, Thursday. Friday, I had to run out to Roosevelt to do some equipment, a tracker, because the Postal Service let me down.
Mm. Yeah, Russ, we're going to have to ask you to stand still. Keep that antenna pointed straight to the sky, because you're cutting in and out on that satellite phone of yours.
I'm not honest.
I know, but it sure sounds like you're on a sat phone. Your voice is kind of coming and going like you're running a marathon or something over there.
Well, I everything checks out here. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Maybe just climb down off the treadmill, and we'll see if that helps at all. I don't know if you guys heard any of our conversations this week, and we'll talk more about this coming up on the news of the week, but there's a disturbing amount of graffiti and vandalism that's going on at some of our state parks and our national monuments, but certainly inside the national parks, and they're tying it to COVID, and my only guess is that it means a lot of people that normally don't go to these places are now going to these places because they know they can, you know, it's accessible, but just don't have the appreciation that people that, you know, may visit these places on a more regular basis do.
Wow, I had no idea. Wow, they need to make a sign, no graffiti.
Well, I'm pretty sure they do that, and if there's enough, you know, ranger presence there, that I'm sure they're keeping an eye out for it, but it was disturbing enough that it made the headlines this morning, Thursday morning, on Utah's Morning News. We talked quite a bit about it. Unsure of what the reasons are, but that would be one guess anyway, is that it's just people that go out on a day trip, don't have much respect for what's going on, leave trash behind, and actually do some damage along the way, which is sad to report.
Pretty low IQ, I guess.
Well, that might be part of it, too. We'd have to catch the vandals in the act to actually do testing to find that out, however. So here's what's coming up on the program today, and I'm looking forward to many of these conversations. I don't know how much you guys have also been following this story of the hundreds of dead migrant birds that have been reported in several states over the last couple of weeks. And with those high mortality rates, unusually so, there have been a lot of questions about what's going on. And, of course, anytime we have questions like that, we want to turn to the guy that knows all of the answers to the fine-feathered friends of ours, and that's Billy Fenimore. So he's going to be joining us around noon today, as we record at noon, but he'll be on the program coming up on the half hour here in this first hour. Also, Captain Wyatt Buback, who has been with us before, is going to join us with a look ahead at warnings for the hunting season, mistakes that people make along the way, like cutting through fences in order to get to an area that they think would actually be good hunting. Back to the high IQ topic here.
You mean you're not supposed to cut fences?
No.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that's why the fence. That's why the fence is there. Of
and
course,
it's hard to catch those IQ graffiti guys because they misspell their own name.
Right, and they get their phone number wrong.
Yeah.
Jared Winkler's also going to be on with us coming up at 7:35. We'll talk about some Brighton passes that are still available. I think they have those Go passes. Is that what they're called? Where you can get 5-day or 10-day passes at a discounted rate. I think the 5-day pass comes in at about $75 a day or $375, and you can buy those online. So anyway, we're getting close to a deadline on that, but it's nice that many of the resorts have extended those deadlines. And then checking in for our one-tank trip of the week, it's Bob and Mark. We're going to focus on beautiful fall drives because it is that time of year.
And, well, that ride up Sardine Canyon there by Sherwood Hills is epic.
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
One of my favorites. And we were out on a motorcycle ride and came over Guardsman Pass last week. I guess it was week before. I'm losing track of time because I snuck away to Vegas for a couple of days. But they were just starting to turn then, and the peak of this fall color should be coming up in the next few weeks, usually first week of August or first week of October or shortly thereafter. So we'll talk about that with the guys. Also, I've had a fair amount of people asking questions because they have enjoyed the videos and the photography on the one tank trip or the road tripping with Bob and Mark website. And I was going to pick their brain a little bit and let Mark just talk to us about the choices out there in drones and the restrictions and things that you have to be careful about, where you can fly them, where you might get yourself in a little extra trouble if you do. And my guess is that our national parks probably are not fond of having people operating drones within the park boundaries. But
it's illegal.
Is it illegal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely illegal, Tim. You can't even fly an airplane, yeah, never mind a helicopter, over it. It's a dead zone.
Even for drones?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd have to think yes. I mean, the last thing a bunch of buffalo would want is some drone buzzing over them.
Yeah. All right. We'll look forward to that. I'm not sure you're right about the dead zone thing. I could swear I've seen airplanes flying over. I mean, we fly over the Grand Canyon every time we go north or south.
Yeah, but not Yellowstone.
I think the drones are illegal.
It's a national park. You can't fly over it.
And the helicopters are giving tours in there, so that would indicate it's not a dead zone.
Well, that's a different place. In fact, the first collision of two planes was in the Grand Canyon, because when you flew from L.A. to New York, they always veered you through the Grand Canyon. They'd fly down in it kind of as a perk. And they had a, you know, mid-air collision there.
Huh.
So that's been an area that hasn't been dead ever. But Yellowstone, you cannot fly a plane over it, and you haven't ever been able to.
That's interesting. All right. And anyway, Mark will tell us what they have to face when they're trying to, you know, document some of these areas for their website to give people some lovely things to look at, and also doing some work for the counties in those areas to help with their tourism. We need to take a break, though. We'll come back, and we will talk more about some of the news of the week coming up in just a minute. And then again, on the half hour, look forward to talking with Billy Fenimore about this strange bird mortality. Speculation is that all of the wildfires may have something to do with it, and all the smoke in the atmosphere may have something to do with it. You remember the old canary in the coal mine thing with coal miners? It may be that they were just overwhelmed with all of the smoke that's been in the atmosphere. We'll, anyway, let him help us sort that out coming up in just a minute. Don't go away. More of KSL Outdoors Radio coming up.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. A beautiful Saturday, and we're glad you're here. Tim, Russ, Navi also with us. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk with Billy Fenimore from the Wild Bird Center. But first, let's talk about some of the news of the week. And I just want to say thank you. I don't know if you guys saw on our Facebook page, but Charlie had posted some pictures of his trip the past week. And don't say where it was, Russ, because he's being very particular about it. He's being a little Navidauskas on this.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anybody to know exactly where he was. But some really beautiful pictures, including a picture of, and I'm trying to remember how big
brook
this
trout.
Fish was. Was it a brook?
No, I believe it was a golden.
You're right. Yeah, it was a golden, but it has a red tint to it, which I didn't know goldens actually had.
It's kind of an orange. It's a little, it looks a little, in the picture, a little red.
Yeah.
But so, by the way, if you're smart, you know where he is now.
Yeah. But it is absolutely beautiful. And Charlie took quite a few pictures and posted them online, so I asked permission for to share them on our Facebook page. So thanks to WYO for that. Also,
I was just going to share. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about our trip to the boulders, but we canceled.
Oh, you did?
he got word that it was just so crowded down there that when we were going. So I don't know how you find that out, but maybe he's just telling me that because he's going to go anyway.
Yeah.
WIL wanted to know about the boulders, and I told him everything I knew.
Well, you guys were going on a Jeep trip. I know you were really looking forward to that. That's a bummer that it fell through. Anyway, the other picture I posted, and I knew it might be a little bit controversial. I don't know if you saw this one, but there was a dead bird laying by a nest with a whole bunch of eggs in it. And the post came through talking about, what an example this was of nature. And I said, a telling picture of nature, a mother's love refusing to leave the nest and protect her young during wildfires. Just sad. Instinct that even human mothers have, and I put nature's mom's life. Really tough to see, but I'm sure the loss of wildlife in those fires, particularly along the West Coast, have just been devastating. Good news is they've had some rain come to the Northwest, so they're getting some help from Mother Nature on that. Here's the other thing that's been off my radar, and I wanted to mention it. The Salt Lake Trails Project, or one of them, is getting closer to reality at Butterfield Canyon. I found this on the KSL.com site, and I live right out here by Butterfield Canyon, but had no idea that they've raised some funds. $200,000 being secured for trails at Butterfield Canyon that will not only serve the mountain biking community, but equestrian and hikers. And the stumbling block all these years, they've been wanting to do it because there aren't a lot of places for people to get off the beaten path, off the pavement, and ride out there. The stumbling block has been the property owned by Kennecott, but it sounds like Kennecott has come to the table, they may be leaning toward getting on board here, which would give access to a lot of this acreage. Part of it's owned by the Bureau of Land Management, Salt Lake County, but the rest of it is Kennecott property. Just how great that would be to kind of keep people from the west side having to go all the way to the east side to do some mountain biking. And for me, I'd have it right in my own backyard. It looks like it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a great thing. You know, Rio Tinto, Kennecott, they need to get on board. And they're doing a whole lot better with the community with things of that nature.
It was also mentioned in here, Navi, and I know we've touched on this before. I didn't know until the last time we raised this conversation about the high school cycling league that has increased its mountain bike enrollees by like 1,500% in the last 8 years. That's a big deal.
It's a great thing. I mean, that's what kids do. It's a great way to get them outdoors. Great way to get them to go to school. Other than to school, they got to have a reason. And frankly, they all can't make the football team. There's a specific number where the mountain bike team, everybody's in. You don't have to try out. You just get a race.
Yeah, and the injuries are probably less riding the mountain bike.
You know, I wanted to tell you, I've got the Jensen twins that work with me here. They're seniors now. They both ride. And one of them biffed the other day, ended up kind of beat up and with a concussion.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So there are definitely some major injuries.
Navodomskis has a little experience with getting banged around on a mountain bike.
I've had concussion from all sports.
You've kind of sworn off mountain bikes, though, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a point when you're just too old to do some things.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm being serious. You know, like they say, in river runs through it. I'm getting much too old to be much of a fly fisher, and I often fish the big waters alone, although friends think I shouldn't. Yeah. But, yeah, at some point you got to realize that you're too old.
Yeah. All right. We've got to get a news update here on the half hour, so stand by, guys. We'll come back in just a minute. On the other side, Billy Fenimore joins us. Then we'll talk fishing with a couple of Utah immigrants, I understand, that Navi's going to tell us about on Fish Bites. That'll wrap up our first hour. But first, a news update, so don't go away.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.